got something to say to you.
Be-bye-fo-bum. What beanstalk you fall from?
Hey. We ready to do this?
We've been doing it for 30 seconds, man.
Oh, cool.
The magic is going. Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of Fascinated with Films.
Hello.
I am here with my cousin, Eric. Say hi, Eric.
Hi, Eric.
And if you're hearing Eric, that usually means that I am up north in Massachusetts, and that is the case today.
Norton, Massachusetts.
Norton, Massachusetts on WrestleMania weekend. That will be pertinent. Stay with us. We'll explain. But we've been having a great time. Eric owns a great shop up here. Why don't you pimp your shop real quick?
Emporium of Retro and Interesting Collectibles in southeastern Massachusetts.
And you can check him out on
Facebook at Emporium. Also YouTube and Instagram under the Eric Shop.
Yes.
Thanks, Jay.
The YouTube and the I follow on Facebook, but I guess you could just do it straight through YouTube too.
Yep.
If you wanted to see your videos.
Exactly.
He posts great videos every day. He sells tons of video games and all sorts of nostalgic collectibles from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and current stuff.
Yep,
and,
absolutely.
If you're in the area, you got to come up here. I always come up here like twice a year, always add to my collection. It's always a great time.
Greatest toy store around.
Yeah. And
if I do say so
I
myself.
I agree with you 100%. And, like I said, we are up here on WrestleMania weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, we have decided, hey, you know what we've never done, which is very difficult for us because we've done so many different friggin' topics that we, like, if you go back to, like, anything, we're on, like, 289 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if you went back to, like, under 100, they were all just 90s action, this particular kind of genre.
And then we
kind of tapped ourselves up with genre, so we had to like start doing certain films together or just complete focuses on one film or wild cards, what we usually do.
Yep.
So we haven't been able to go back to a kind of classic kind of genre talk around, and we figured one out. We had never done one with wrestlers that have been in motion pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And what better time than doing the WrestleMania weekend?
I've always loved wrestling. I took a few years off during the pandemic. It was kind of odd with no crowds and that stuff.
Yeah.
And I didn't really like the story, the product that they were putting out there, but wrestling seems like it's back right now, and it's fun.
Nice.
WrestleMania 40 this weekend, so that's pretty amazing.
That's crazy.
Thinking that
just
we watched
makes
the first
feel
one.
Old because...
I mean, we saw the first one. We were there. Not there, obviously, but we were at that time.
We were
loving it.
It was huge in my childhood. It's weird that I'm not as big into it now, but I love coming back up here, and it kind of recharges me for my love for wrestling. And my years are basically 85 to 92. 85 to 92 were just pure, pure great years. I was telling Eric earlier, if I had to pinpoint it, I think 1987 is probably one of the best years of my life. There was so much going on with sports, with movies, with us hanging out, with just having a great time and not caring about things.
Going to the baseball card store and all that
stuff.
Yeah.
It was utter bliss.
Yep.
And
now I'm selling all that awesome stuff.
Yeah, yeah, that's what's great
all
about
those memories.
It. Eric still has got that recharge every day he goes into the shop.
Yep.
I get it when I look at my collection or when I come back up here, too.
Yep.
And, it was a big part of our childhood. We were lucky to go. You've been to a couple different events.
Yep, I went to WrestleMania, I'm going to say 11, the one with LT and Bam Bam, and a ton of, like, regular shows.
Yeah,
like,
and we went to one together, which was a very memorable moment in my life, where
Lowell.
We were just like, let's drive up to Lowell, Mass., and we're going to go to a wrestling match. Turns out it was a Raw taping.
Yep.
And we were lucky enough to see it. It was a while later, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how the hell that storyline, maybe they were always that far ahead.
I think it was a week.
Is that what it was?
I think it was a week.
I thought it was longer than
that. No. When they were doing the Raws, they were that night.
They were that night.
Yeah.
Okay.
They would only do the house shows. They'd show the week later.
That's right.
But we were watching a full show. It wasn't just Raw. We'd watch the matches for like a Saturday or something like that.
That's right. That's
and that's what we didn't see for a while.
Yeah.
But we went to the Lowell Memorial Auditorium.
Super fun, and obviously if you're into wrestling or if you have even a minute knowledge of it, you'd realize how huge it is right now.
Yep.
And I've seemed completely and utterly gypped as a kid not having all these female wrestlers to watch like be badasses because we had nobody. We had nobody.
We had an old washed-up mula who's just a terrible person in general, Wendi Richter for a hot minute.
And that's basically it.
Yeah, until really. Sherry came in. And yep. Sherry was, what, 85 or so? Yeah. So, yeah.
So it, because I watch it now and I'm like, holy shit, they have enough women wrestlers to have a whole full women's Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
I said, that's how crazy it is. Yeah, I've been watching all these girls, and there's some of them like the Bianca girl, the yep. Jade girl is one of my favorites.
They're so all far. Better talents. They're all better talents than the guys, or most of them are.
Yeah, they're almost more interesting to watch.
Rhea's really impressive. Yep. Rhea Ripley, saw her last night.
So
and Becky.
It's fantastic what they've been doing to it and how it's just boomed. I mean, you know how much were tickets? We were talking like how much were tickets when you went?
I think like $40.
And WrestleMania 11,
they weren't even 40. They were for $75-$80.
Okay, $75-$80.
Yeah.
And what did you say? Did you tell me a figure of what the wrestling WrestleMania tickets cost now?
No, I know someone got out 2 day. It was like 3,000 or something like that. It's but like, that's everything, probably.
Well, that's also a thing that we weren't used to when we were kids, too, is the idea that it's a 4 day event.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Right. We used to, back in the day, three
yeah.
hours,
yeah.
If you were lucky.
Yeah.
Like 2:45 sometimes. Yeah. And now that they have this 4 day event, like day one is like.
Day one's free on SmackDown, and day four is free on Raw. But the other 2 days are the big money
days.
But they give you the build up, and then the Monday Night Raw after is usually a big show. Something big will happen usually.
And the Fridays are the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah, that's so right after the SmackDown.
Pretty exciting, too. So we got to see some of the Hall of Fame.
And then they had the NXT, which is like the minor league event. That was Saturday morning or 12 o'clock yesterday.
Oh, nice.
So they had a 4 hour event as well.
It's crazy. It's crazy. So, yeah, so let me get my list out, too, because I've got a list of... yeah, what we're going to do is we've got 10 movies that are all connected to a wrestling star that you either know or you don't know.
Yeah.
And the movies themselves are great, too, so that's why this was a really easy pairing to be able to make. And at the end, we figured, hey, why don't we kind of list, since it's WrestleMania
weekend,
we'll list what our five favorite WrestleMania matches are, because if you're out there and you like wrestling or you're curious about it, if you have Peacock, I mean,
you watch it all.
You got everything, man.
Yep.
They're almost giving you everything they ever did, except for maybe the Saturday morning shows that we used to watch. But all the major pay-per-view events are all on there.
The only issue I've had is they do more advertising now. And they also they don't give you the true music for a lot of these guys when they come out.
That's a big
deal for me.
Upsetting.
I don't want to hear Axe and Smash come down to some other song.
Yeah,
it's just very odd.
That is kind of crazy. I've caught a couple TV shows like that.
Yeah.
That for a while
it's the licensing, and I get that, but
yeah, that for a while there, I don't think Netflix had the licensing to use the Married with Children theme, because I remember way back in the day when I played it. It's changed now, I think, but back in the day they played this weird jingle.
Yeah.
That I'm looking at the screen, and I was like, I know for. I mean, it's one of the most recognizable themes in the
world. Oh, yeah.
And this is not it, so it's very interesting.
Oh, okay.
Licensing. It's a bitch.
I know.
All right, my list here. And this is a good one, I thought. And some of these movies we haven't talked about in a while, and some of them, have we talked about all of them? I think we probably mentioned all of them, and some of them we've talked several times about.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to try to keep it focused on, because a lot of these movies, the wrestler we're going to talk about in it,
aren't really in it.
They're in it. They're
not
in,
for very long.
Some of them are in it for the entire fucking movie. Some of them are the stars of the movie. Some of them are in it for like a half hour, but some of them can be in it for like 6 minutes. Well, one of them on here is probably in it for
110 seconds.
For like, no, he's probably in it for about, I don't know, a minute maybe.
Okay.
But he's awesome, and he needs a shout out. So we're going to be talking about not only the movies, the scene, and then we'll talk a little bit about Eric is rich with his wrestling kind of knowledge and everything.
Uh-oh.
And we can talk a little bit about the wrestler himself.
Absolutely.
So let's get it right off, because we got a really great list here. We're going to start ourselves off with one of the biggies. And this was a movie that both me and Eric saw together for the first time, and it was a big part of our life. And this is 1988's They Live.
Awesome.
So the wrestler to be focused on in this is the great Roddy Piper.
Absolutely.
Who is both me and Eric's favorite wrestler, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Either one or two for you. He's
him and Brett. And
Andre.
Andre, I love. He was just the man. He was bigger than wrestling. I didn't really consider him a wrestler so much. He was just the big guy.
Yeah, for me, it's always going to be it's always going to be Rowdy, Savage, and Flair, yep. I think, are my top three
guys.
And Roddy Piper is just, he was somebody that translated really well for films. If you've seen Hell Comes to Frogtown, you know what I'm talking about. Or No Contest. That, I love No Contest.
No Contest
is
very good.
I own that. That's a horror
movie. Isn't
that
Davi
in
that too?
Davi.
Yeah,
that's Dice.
Yep, I remember
Dice
that.
Is the bad guy too. That's a very hard movie to find if you ever come across
it. I don't think I've ever seen it.
Yeah. It was, you only saw it on HBO?
No, I mean as far as like seeing it physically.
Seeing it, yeah, it's a difficult one, but Roddy Piper's great in that. Almost completely silent role for him in that one.
Yeah,
but
he's a badass. So.
This one, I mean, he is so good and just, he paired well, super well with John Carpenter. I think I heard John Carpenter say in later interviews that he wished he had done more with Rowdy.
Right.
They do the commentary together on the Scream Factory.
Rowdy's a lot like Kurt Russell, the same type of look.
Yep.
So I think
same type of the look.
Yeah.
The humor is there.
Yeah.
And you could have easily, maybe not Big Trouble in China, but you could have replaced Rowdy. You could have put Rowdy in there as Plissken and it would have worked just as well.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, he's people forget a lot of these wrestlers are just great actors, you know, that it has to be, there's a part of the persona that you need to be great in front of the camera. You need to be great in front of, on that microphone.
He played such a great villain and he had his own talk show.
He
was perfect. He was one of the nicest guys around.
He was
so,
charismatic as a motherfucker.
He was the most charismatic man of his time, I would say.
Yep. No one was funnier too, man. Yep. We just laugh our ass off at the old Rowdy interviews.
Yep.
He let
the crowd get to him. He played the whole role perfect.
Love it. So They Live, if you're not familiar with They Live, John Carpenter film, and I guess the elevator log line that I would say is a man finds a pair of glasses. When he puts on the glasses, he can see all the aliens that are all living among us that we didn't know about.
Yeah, shit changes as soon as you put those glasses on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's not just that. It's the aliens are, you can see the indoctrination that's actually happening.
Yeah.
Because the signs that we see as billboards actually say like sleep or eat or consume.
Obey.
Yeah. There's like probably 15, 20 key words that
and they're all over. He looks up at the skyline and they're everywhere.
God. Some of my favorite moments from that movie when he first saw the very first alien at the newsstand.
Yeah.
It was just crazy.
Yeah.
What's your problem?
Exactly. Yeah.
So great. Then he went into the grocery store. Just another killer scene after another. And one of the best lines that Rowdy improvised himself was the chew bubblegum line.
Kick ass.
Apparently, Rowdy and John Carpenter were working together, and Rowdy had a book of all his like insults and shit that he would use in interviews and everything, and he gave it to John Carpenter and said, read it and see if there's anything you want me to do in there.
If you can use.
And the chew bubblegum was
was
a line written in it, and John Carpenter's like, that's the line I want you to use right
That's
here.
Awesome.
It's
I love
really
that.
Great,
good.
Man. I love that bank scene, but we should mention Keith David, man.
Yeah.
Keith David in this flick.
Great.
Man, I love that Keith David is still going strong, and he's out there and he's doing all sorts of shit. And I heard that he was voicing Spawn again for something.
Oh, really?
I don't know if it was for some special
like
or something like that.
Show or something like that.
I know that HBO show. Whew, that HBO show was so good. The Spawn
was
one.
No,
you never seen it?
No.
Oh,
I was
so
never
good.
A Spawn guy. Really?
I probably asked you before, but yeah, it's so good. I love that one.
Yeah.
But
Keith
David,
the fight scene that was one of it's probably considered the greatest, or if not close to the greatest.
I mean,
fight
he
scene
made
ever.
Keith David into a wrestler there for a brief period of time
in the alleyway. On the
super
concrete.
Super fun to listen to them talk about it on the documentary.
Yep.
Keith David says, obviously, all the credit goes to Rowdy.
Yeah.
He taught me how to take a fall. He taught me how to do this. And he basically choreographed that whole fight.
Hmm.
And that's like a 7-minute fight in the middle of this movie.
Oh, yeah.
And it did not disappoint.
No.
People remember that fight.
You weren't rolling your eyes waiting for it to be over.
No, it's parodied in South Park in a brilliant, brilliant way.
Yep.
And it's just an amazing, amazing scene. And I love the ending. I love everything. It keeps going through. The whole thing was just this complete awesome movie.
Yep.
There will not be as much of a love fest about all 10 of these movies we're talking about right here. Specifically, They Live. It's on my top 50 for sure.
It might be in my top 25.
Really?
Yeah. I
maybe
love
not
this
my
movie.
25, but it's definitely in my top 50.
I just like it so much. It's one of those movies. I think it's that and next to Big Trouble. Actually, you got Prince of Darkness.
Yeah.
I can't really.
Man, I just love John Carpenter.
Yeah.
And we were lucky enough to grow up in that time where John Carpenter was just making banger after banger.
Yeah.
It was really so much good at once. In The Mouth of Madness. You're like the biggest fan of In the Mouth of Madness as anyone I know.
That's probably my favorite horror movie.
Yeah. Oh, see that? That's a promo right there, boys and girls. Go check out In the Mouth of Madness, because I feel like it's not one that everyone knows.
No, about. I agree. I agree. It's definitely obscure. And for his movies, it's probably, you know, everyone knows of Halloween, first and foremost.
No, there's 5-6 movies of John Carpenter's people are going to know way before that comes.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, this next one. And this is another big wrestler. All these are pretty big wrestlers, really, if you're a wrestling fan. So we're going to jump right into 1982. I saw this in the movie theater with my mom. I don't know what it was. My mom took me in the middle of the night. I don't know if she was arguing with my dad or maybe she just wanted to get out of the house and go see the movie. But my brothers weren't with us. I remember that. And we went and saw 1982's Rocky III.
Oh, yeah.
So the big guy here, Hulk Hogan absolutely. Playing Thunderlips.
Yep.
Man, such a memorable role. Just in the middle of the movie, probably, to be realistic, it was probably, 8 minutes? Maybe an 8-minute scene, 10-minute scene?
Yep.
And
he was larger than life.
Oh, God, 82, so...
It was before he had his title reign.
It was before he got his title from the Sheik, right?
It's right there. I think he won the title right after it.
What year was WrestleMania 1, do we know?
85.
85?
Yeah.
Man, so this is like 3 years before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I'm not... Did we know who he was when we saw this movie?
Oh, yeah.
Did we?
Yeah.
I couldn't even remember.
So they made the movie 82, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We knew who he was. Because I think he was wrestling as a bad guy with Freddie Blassie.
Okay.
Point. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense, too. And it's such a great scene. It's one of my favorite scenes. Whenever I'm watching Rocky III, I'm like, oh, we get the Thunderlips part coming up. Yeah. It's such a great diversion from the Clubber Lang stuff for a little bit there. And what I was telling Eric, one of my favorite lines is, why are they carrying him?
That's a great line.
He's not. He's walking.
Yeah. What do you think he eats? About 252 pounds. Yeah. And now weighing in at 252 pounds, Rocky Balboa just looks at him.
The look on Mickey's face once he says it too, I was like, that's just clever as shit, man. And yeah, if you're familiar with Rocky III, it's the one that came after 2. Yeah. it's the one with Mr. T in it, basically.
Yeah, the two of them are in again, and that's right around WrestleMania 1.
You didn't like the Clubber Lang character, did you? Because you didn't like T as a bad guy?
It was that, because I only knew him as, obviously, B.A. Baracus.
Yeah.
And no, that was before that, even.
But you were a fan of Rocky III, though, right?
I loved the movie. I just didn't like him, probably because of the whole Mickey thing.
Yeah. I fast forward every time.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean,
there's no reason to watch it more than once.
He's responsible for it. No.
I think that's one of the best lines I've heard from you when I asked you if you were going to see another remake of King Kong, and you said, I can't watch that poor bastard die again.
That sounds right. Yeah.
And I feel that same way about Mickey, man. Yeah. I'm doing him a favor fast forwarding that scene.
Exactly.
What's your favorite Rocky movie?
I got to go with 4, then 2, then 3.
More than 2, than 3.
Yeah.
1 doesn't even make the top 4, huh?
No.
Oh.
I find it boring, and that's another one I could watch never again and not lose any.
Wow. I don't know if I could go that far. It's definitely low on my list.
If it's on TV and nothing else is on, I'll watch it. That's the only time.
I've seen it a lot. That's my problem with it.
It's so slow.
It does have some slow scenes. I think 2's got some slow scenes, too, though.
I agree. Yeah.
4 is my favorite, also.
4 is awesome.
I love 4.
Yeah, the music alone.
Have you seen the director's cut?
I'm sure I have, because that's a movie
it's the one where they took the robot stuff out.
And okay.
No, he redesigned the whole movie. You'd know if you saw it.
Oh, no. I guess I didn't.
Stallone went in and added scenes and deleted scenes and jumbled the whole movie up into what people say is a different fucking movie.
Really?
I'm not sure I would like it because I've watched it so many times and I expect a certain scene to come next.
Yeah.
And I would be pissed if that robot scene's not in there. That was fucking fun. It was
Happy Birthday, Polly?
Yeah, Happy Birthday, Polly.
Oh, no.
My figure means nothing now.
Right.
To anyone who's watched the director's cut.
That's terrible.
So yeah, this was Rocky III, though, is the one where it's the one where Mickey dies, obviously. Yep. It's the one where Clubber Lang kind of takes
the title from him.
Emasculates him in the statue kind of unveiling.
Yep, yeah.
And then Thunderlips just happened during the training period. He was doing it as like an exhibition fight, just for whatever.
Yep.
There was several things. That was what was going on in III, is Rocky was getting really kind of comfortable with the life and the money and everything.
Yeah.
And I wasn't appreciating it. And Mickey was always on his ass, man.
Yeah.
All those movies he was in, he was on his ass.
Yep.
And that Clubber Lang part was great. I just absolutely love it. I love him throwing him in the thing and Adrian like freaking out. Like, does this guy not know this is an exhibition bite? Why is he trying to kill him?
Yeah. Yeah, that was sick.
And they played dirty and everything, and I loved it. Yeah. And then Hulk became who Hulk became.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
You a Hulk Hogan fan back then?
For a brief period. Yeah. I was a Hulk Hogan fan until he fought Andre at WrestleMania 3.
Yeah, that might have been when I stopped doing it. When they had so many more wrestlers eventually to root for more than him, I was like, okay, yeah. Hulk's Hulk, you know?
Andre was the man. He was like the poster boy when I first started watching it. My mom used to call me when I was outside playing so I could go outside and see him. Like he was what drew me to the TV. So I didn't even look at him as a wrestler. He was larger than life, obviously. So when he went up against Andre, that was it. I didn't have any love for him anymore. Yeah. And even before that, when he was feuding with Orndorff, who I loved, and Roddy, who I loved, I liked those guys as much, if not more. They had better personalities.
They absolutely did.
He said the same thing every time.
He did.
For the most part.
He had the same kind of mannerisms and moves in the ring, too.
Yeah.
We know, he's going to come back. He shakes his head. Yep. He does points that thing with his hand.
Points at you.
When he comes up. And he does that wild thing with his hair. Yeah. It got kind of annoying after a while. But I always kind of respected the guy. And I didn't hate him like some wrestlers.
Not until later. Oh, it took me a long time to start hating him.
But I would always root for whoever else before I would root for him.
Yeah, pretty much.
I agree with that. All right, let's move on. Number three, and this is one of the wrestlers that both me and Eric love and respect big time. This is 1987's Roadhouse.
Nice.
Tell us who we're talking about here.
Terry Funk.
Oh, I love Terry Funk.
From the Double Cross Ranch in Amarillo, Texas.
What, did he really?
Double Cross Ranch.
That's funny. So people, pull up YouTube. Pull up Terry Funk, man. Terry Funk's a badass, really gritty. He was perfectly cast in Roadhouse.
Yeah, he was.
Because that's exactly who you would expect Terry Funk to be.
That's how he acted.
Like, that role he played as one of the, like, shady-ass bartenders, mm-hmm. and specifically for, like, Ben Gazzara's evil-ass character.
Yeah.
And, that you could kind of imagine in your head, this is what he did before he started doing amateur wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he just was kind of working at a shady bar in Texas and stuff.
Yeah, just kick people's ass if he had to, whatever.
And you're a Roadhouse fan?
I love it.
Yeah, I love Roadhouse. Didn't see the
remake. I've heard awful things.
I like Jake Gyllenhaal. I'm just not sure if I like him in that role.
I don't dislike him as an actor.
I like Patrick Swayze a lot, and I have a lot of love for Patrick.
Yep.
And it's one of those roles I just can't see anyone else doing.
No.
They could have easily made him as a his own bartender, not named Roadhouse.
Yep.
And they could do that with almost all these remakes today.
I agree.
Just call it something else. Yep. You don't have to fucking... that's the Last Omen and shit. How about just name it... a different Exorcism movie.
Yeah,
people will go see it.
Yeah.
Trust me. All you have to say is Devil Possesses Children.
Yep. That's a great movie. I'm going to take that one.
Yeah. But Terry Funk, man, he was exactly
world champion.
How he was kind of in this movie, man. You can kind of look at him and watch one match, and he had his branding Iron Man.
Oh, yeah.
Was one of
and he was
things.
Crazy. He was on the top rope doing stuff, and he just looked like he had a couple drinks before the match a lot of the time.
And he's early on. I mean, he's one of the godfathers of this early wrestling era. I'm not sure what kind of area of the country, because it was all East Coast guys, and it was either you were in the South, you were in the Mid, or you were in the...
He was a South guy, because he was from Texas.
Yep.
But he went
Texas
everywhere.
And Florida had a huge independent wrestling thing where a lot of them came from, and then, obviously the New England area. And, it's crazy. So he came out of Texas.
Yeah.
And what do you have a memorable Terry Funk kind of match that you remember?
Later on he was in ECW, which is the extreme one. And he was doing, like, moonsaults off the top rope. And I'm not kidding you.
I mean, he must have been old at this point. Older, for sure, than what we used to see in
52,
the 82, 53. Oh, that is crazy.
But he just jump up there. And as he's getting up there, you'll watch him. You're like, how many six-packs did you just pound?
Yeah.
Because he looked like he was ripped. And he'd get up there and do this moonsault and miss by a mile. Then he had, like, the barbed wire matches and...
like the leather strap matches.
Yep,
and he'd
the
do
Chainsaw
a lot of
Charlie. Yep, the Chainsaw Charlie where he had the pantyhose over his head when he was with Cactus Jack.
Shit. See, that Eric goes deep here the way I go on movies. And, I don't remember all that. I wish I had that type of knowledge or watched it back then because, I mean, you watched it live, a lot of these things, or at least within that week of them coming out.
Yep.
We should mention, too, Eric was a... big reader of the pro wrestling magazines and everything.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
He would always tell me what was going to happen.
Around the country.
This is going to happen.
Yep.
Or
this guy's coming in.
Mr. Perfect didn't break his leg because of a skiing. Was because of this type of thing. And
I love those magazines.
It was always great.
They were fun.
I love Roadhouse. I love to revisit it all the time. It's just a great Patrick Swayze movie.
Yeah.
Everyone knows Roadhouse.
But Terry was a fun guy, and I always liked watching him wrestle. He was a good entertainer.
I was mentioning Roadhouse the other day because I saw that was like it would have been Jeff Healey's like I don't know what birthday he was the blind guitarist. He was great.
Yep.
All right, another one. And this, since we were just talking Andre, we'll go to Andre, man. 1987's The Princess Bride.
Nice.
half the country's favorite kind of fantasy movie. This has a cult following like no one else.
Absolutely. Man. It's great.
You try to remake The Princess Bride, you'll see everyone freaking
buy
it.
No.
There's some certain movies awesome you just shouldn't actors be touching, man. Too. And awesome Princess actors. Bride was great.
I like Sarandon, obviously one of my favorites.
Love Chris Sarandon.
Yeah.
We have Billy Crystal.
Billy Crystal, yeah, he was awesome in that.
What's our guy from Alien Nation?
Oh, Manny.
Manny Patinkin, yeah. Really great. Robin Wright Penn, just Robin Wright now, I think. I think she's gone back to Robin Wright. Who else is it? Peter Falk, Fred Savage.
Who's the guy who, there you go. Who's the guy with the...
Oh, you're thinking of someone else.
The Lisp.
Oh, the Lisp person.
The guy who changes the drink. What's his name?
I can't remember. It's not Christopher Guest. No, Christopher Guest is
the bald guy. It's the bald guy.
You're talking about, what the hell is his name?
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's the front deal of the century, man.
Something.
Wallace Shawn.
Is that his name?
Yeah, Wallace Shawn.
Good.
He's also the voice of Rex from the Toy Story.
I never saw a Toy Story movie.
Oh, that's sad.
I knew that was coming up. Everyone gets so disappointed when I say it. I never saw that. I'll see him eventually. We actually just got all four of them on Blu-ray.
Yeah, they're all good. Yeah. All four of them are good.
Jay's a big fan of them, too.
Second one's probably my favorite. Three's got one of the most tragic, scary things if you've ever seen in a cartoon.
Oh, no.
But it's awesome. It's so good. Yeah, you would love those films. Who else are we missing in that cast? That's the main group, though, right?
Yeah. Carol Kane.
Carol Kane. I love Carol Kane. She's great. Man. She's so awesome. I don't know who was the guy who played the guy who... brings him back to life.
Oh, the albino looking guy?
Yeah, the albino guy. I don't either. Guy. I think I looked him up once, and I think he's a famous British actor.
I think you're
like
right.
A British character actor, but I didn't know much of anything he was in.
Yeah.
He's the only one.
Oh, Cary Elwes.
Cary Elwes.
How about the star of the movie? Yeah, we've got something.
That's hilarious. That's how important Cary Elwes was.
Yeah. They could have done the movie with anyone there.
Rob Reiner directed, too. Great Rob Reiner. Rob Reiner doesn't get enough credit for all the great movies he's done. People forget he's done one of the best kind of thriller movies of all time with Misery. He's done one of the best coming of age movies with Stand By Me.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best fantasy movies with The Princess Bride.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another one I was thinking of with him. What else was the other one that he did?
When
Harry Met Sally, that was a huge one too.
I didn't see that. All the other movies are just epic movies.
Oh, they're so good, man. I love Misery. Misery is such one of the ones
I saw that in the theater.
I saw it twice in the theater, I think.
Great.
Yeah, great such movie. A great movie. But Rob Reiner killed it with this movie, and it was like the perfect fantasy movie. And you can go back and rewatch it. I love the telling of it by
Peter Falk.
By Peter Falk to Fred Savage. Speaking of toys, man, the toys behind Fred Savage's head.
Yep.
Oh, they're all good. Man.
Wasn't there a tendril up there?
No, that was in Monster Squad.
I knew the Monster Squad with tendril. I thought there was another big one that I love.
No,
up there.
I don't think there was a. I think he might have had a Jetfire or a...
I think it was a Jetfire. I knew it was something big that I liked.
I know he had several Master Universe figures up there and everything, so it was great that it was just captured that period of time. I think it was, 87.
Yeah.
It was that year again.
And don't forget, I mean, that was a year that Andre was struggling with his health.
Yes.
He had a hard time.
They talk about this in the Andre documentary.
Yeah, he couldn't, like, really pick his arms up. He couldn't catch the princess. He couldn't do much anything. They had to, like, gently lower him down.
Yep.
Lower her down to
the
him.
Documentary on HBO is worth watching.
Yes,
people.
Absolutely.
It is
so
really,
good.
Really good. It's sad at times for sure, but it's more of a celebration of just a great guy.
Great life, and it was just, he was an epic person. So
yeah, like you said, they had to make some concessions for him on Princess Bride just because his back was just shot to shit.
Well, his back and hips.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have been wrestling at that point.
I mean, yeah, he was just going out there and people were like, oh, he's slow because he's big and he was
suffering. He was dying. He was actually dying.
Screaming inside his own body, man. Yep. So it's great that we got what we did off of him from that movie, man. And I love it. I own the Princess Bride Fezziwig figure.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
With the boulder in his hand. You have the peanut one. There's two different ones, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's two different ones. I love it. It's such a fun movie to rewatch. And that's another one of those movies that you start watching it and you get eager about the next scene that you're looking forward to.
You get sucked into it.
You're like, oh, the poisoning scene's going to happen. Oh, he's going to fight Manny Patinkin on
finally,
the side of the mountain.
And
you get it to see Andre. I love Andre punching out the sea creature and pulling the girl. Hey, lady.
Yeah. Anyone want a peanut?
Such a great one. Or him pretending to be like that kind of the ominous
ogre?
The guy
cloak
at the very end.
The cloak guy, yeah.
Yeah, that was really good. I mean, I would hope to think that even kids now can watch and appreciate Princess Bride because, I mean, it's for everybody, people. Check
it
out. Now, the next one, at the time I liked this movie, but it's kind of lost a little bit favor with me. It kind of got reinvigorated like a couple years ago because of them bringing this movie up in the lexicon. But we're going to be talking about 2002's Spider-Man.
Okay.
Now, you might be wondering, why are they talking about Spider-Man? This is not a superhero or a wrestler in Spider-Man. And yes, there was. It was the great one. I mentioned him earlier. One of my favorite wrestlers of all time is the great Randy Macho Man Savage.
Yep.
The Slim Jim guy, kids. Come on.
Yep. All dressed up in black.
Oh, man. Yeah, yeah, he was totally scary. Black. And he was on his more bloated of sides,
yes,
for sure.
Yes, that's the word
but he had
use.
A great line. I got you for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
You ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Boonsaw is ready.
That's so great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you know what we're talking about, this is when Peter Parker...
is trying to make some cash.
Yeah, he's trying to make a bunch of cash, and he's already Spider-Man. He's got his makeshift suit on and everything, and he just kind of goes into these wrestling events and fights as, like, the schlub that gets his ass kicked and everything, just to make money in it, leading up to killing his uncle.
Yeah.
Now, were you a fan of this when it first came out?
Yeah.
Are you a fan of it now?
It doesn't hold up as well.
I don't think it does. I think it holds up better than the second one, and a lot of people don't think so. A lot of people love that second one, man.
I
think this was a generational thing.
I like the first one better. Still,
but I also think this was generational. I think if you would have been our age when we were seeing 89 Batman, when people were seeing 2002 Spider-Man, I think it was real important to you.
Okay,
where Batman was our thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Spider-Man was the early
And they finally got their movie. That was
yeah,
the
they got their,
it was
I mean,
great.
They got their Spider-Man. It
when
wasn't
look,
bad.
When you look,
no,
when you
really
look back
good.
At when you first saw it, you probably loved it.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
I did.
With it. I did too.
But what they did with Andrew Garfield and went 10 times further with Tom Holland.
Yeah.
I mean, that Homecoming, Spider-Man Homecoming is one of the best superhero movies.
Movies.
I'm a huge Keaton guy anyway.
The scene with Keaton where the light changes to green and he realizes who's in the back seat.
It's one of my favorite, top 20, maybe that's hard. Maybe it's in my top 50 scenes of all time is that scene in the car with Tom Holland and
I'm going to put that higher in
Michael
mine.
Keaton.
Yeah, I'll put that higher in my list. I love it.
It's really great. I love him in that
movie.
It's
one sometimes you always rewind just to see it again. Like,
yep.
Oh, I got to see that one with him.
He killed it in that movie. The fact that the Flash didn't kind of propel. I saw that Flash movie in the theater too. Have you seen Keaton at all? Have you seen the movie?
Yeah, I've seen clips of it.
His clip's great.
Yeah.
All his clips, all his stuff is solid. It's everything else that's garbage.
Yep.
It's a shame. But yeah, with the Spider-Man movies, the third one was horrible. It was unwatchable for me.
I didn't see it all the way through.
Yeah, that says it right there. It wasn't good enough to even go back to it.
I like you, Eric Foreman, but you were not Venom.
No, I couldn't have put that better. That's exactly what I would say. But I do love Willem Dafoe as the Green Goblin. I thought it was great. I think he could have easily been one of the Jokers. We were showing you that picture earlier that just blended his face right into how the Joker would be. But that's kind of how the Green Goblin and the Joker kind of were. They could have been played by the same character.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they were very, very similar with their attitude and
their mannerisms and
all that stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Randy Savage, man. You've always been a Randy Savage fan. Let's talk a little Randy for a quick.
Yeah, I was up and down. I mean, I told you before, I didn't like the way he treated Liz. I don't think anyone did. And then you find out that some of it's not so far-fetched, which makes you dislike him a little bit. But as far as in the ring, unbelievable.
Yeah.
He was every wrestler back in that era said he was the most professional guy to be in the ring with. He was always ready, scripted, and he knew exactly what he was going to do. Great on the mic, great in the ring, looked good. Everything was perfect about him.
Man, I'm telling you, it was one of my favorite like LJN figures I ever had. I loved everything about him. And he was not a good guy at first. And I liked him when he was a bad guy, too.
Yep, yep.
Because that thing with him and Steamboat with the bell.
It was great.
That was one of the best things that we had seen in wrestling. I mean, our little kid minds sucked that drama up.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, you see what he's doing with his bell?
He just cracked that throat.
And they're pushing fucking Steamboat out through the hallways and stuff into the
choking.
Ambulance and everything. I'm like, how are they not arresting Randy Savage? What's going on here?
That was brutal.
And then how they lead up to all the stuff with them. And I just loved him. And then he went through so many different transformations. They just kept evolving, you know, the King with Sherry. And then what did he do after the King? Did he have another one?
No, because after that,
transition?
When he was with Sherry, he actually retired.
Oh, he was retired when he was
Warrior
with Sherry?
Retired him at WrestleMania 8.
Really?
Yeah, that was a retirement match. It was career versus career.
So he never fought after WrestleMania 8?
So that's when he left for however many years it was, and came back 2 years, 3 years, and he came back. That's when the Cobra bit him.
Okay.
And then he fought for a little while, but McMahon didn't like his in-ring stuff. So he basically told him, you're going to be an announcer or you're gone.
Yeah.
He did it for a few years, then he got up on one of the shows. I believe he said, I'm out, or something like that.
I remember him being an announcer. It wasn't that bad.
I didn't like him as an announcer at all.
I didn't think he was that
the
bad.
The WrestleMania outside with when they're the Coliseum, the Roman Coliseum, yeah. He put Bobby Heenan down so much. It was unlistenable. He was such a dick to him. I hated
him. Was that the first time we heard him as an announcer? Because
it was right around there, yeah.
Yeah. Because I swear I heard him, and yeah, I don't remember it that well.
He was a douchebag. He was a straight, and I didn't like listening to Heenan be belittled. You get a little bit of it from Gorilla, but that's fun.
Yeah.
This is more bullying and acting like a dickhead.
Huh.
I thought it was kind of distasteful.
I mean, I would gather that most of these guys are probably assholes, but
right. But I mean, Bobby was a legend, and I don't want to hear him talk. And he even said,
"No, I agree. I'm a huge like Bobby Heenan fan, and I would not take lightly someone making fun of me there." But
right.
All right, the next one. This is another big one that we talk about. We know we've talked about several times in the pod, but we love it, and we'll certainly talk about it again. And this is why did I put 2000? That is not correct. It is 1987. Luckily, I know my years. 1987's The Predator.
Okay.
And we're going to be talking Jesse the Body Ventura, yep. Man.
One of my favorites.
He went so well with movies, man.
Yep.
The Running Man and just all the stuff that he did, man. I just love Jesse, man.
Yep.
And wasn't
he in Ricochet?
He was in Ricochet.
Yeah, he was one of the prisoners, I think. I think he was he was the prisoner that John Lithgow fought in the underneath.
Oh, that's underneath the prison. Crazy. Yep. Now I need to rewatch Ricochet, man.
Such a good movie.
It is a good movie. I love that movie. I haven't seen it in a long time.
I love Malkovich.
So. Yeah, not Malkovich, Lithgow.
That's what I said. Yeah. That's exactly what I said.
Lithgow. I love him so much. I don't even know his name. I'm telling you, he was sadistic and blowout.
Okay.
Most of it you'd probably find pretty cheesy and boring, but he was awesome in it.
Yeah, he's great.
And Dennis Franz was great in it, too.
I like him.
Yeah, he's so good. But he can play a prick. No one plays a prick better than
Psycho, too.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Psycho 2. He was great in Psycho 2. Yeah, he was a total scumbag. All right, now I'm going to go back what we were talking about.
The
Predator.
This is
first of all, what was great about Jesse, too, because Jesse was an announcer for most of the time. I mean, you probably saw him fighting.
I saw him wrestle.
Early on.
Yeah.
And I knew him mainly as an announcer and a flamboyant. You know, he's always had boas and the bandanas on his head. He was very colorful,
feather earring hanging down.
Yeah, he was wild. He had his own sense of style.
His tag team partner was Adrian Adonis. Google that name.
I didn't know they were tag team.
They were tag team champions, I believe.
Holy crap.
They were tag team partners.
I'll tell you, what I don't know about wrestling could.
They wore like black leather.
It's a swimming pool compared to what Eric knows.
They wore black leather. It was great.
Oh, now I got to pull up video and pictures of that because I love Adrian Adonis. I thought he was unique as shit.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone appreciated him as much when it was going on live until later on. You were like, man, Adrian Adonis was actually pretty good at what he was doing.
And he put it out there and he didn't care how he looked.
Yep.
At that WrestleMania 3 match, look at him at the end. He is pretty gnarly.
Oh, man, I felt so bad. I was at your shop the other day, and you had... what WrestleMania did he get his haircut?
WrestleMania 3.
That was 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm watching him get his haircut, and I was like,
He's not a pretty sight, and he's wearing those pink shorts. Pulled up very high on his belly.
He was always overflowing his outfit and everything.
Yeah, and he had... I think at the end, he had, like, wadded up paper. Like, you saw, like these bumps in his underwear.
Yeah.
It looked really disturbing.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on there.
Yeah, the train wreck. Then he got his head shaved.
Oh, he had one of the craziest figures. Yeah. I always loved that figure, though. And you have one at your shop.
The flamboyant one. Yeah.
It's really funny. But with Jesse, man, he was, other than Bobby, if you had to have somebody announcing with Gorilla Monsoon, if it wasn't Bobby, you'd want it to be Jesse.
Absolutely.
He told it like it is. And he was... He pushed buttons in a funny way.
Yeah,
he knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah.
And he would, very similar to Bobby, he had the inclination to root for the villains more than he didn't have any love for Hogan.
No, he hated Hogan.
He hated Hogan. And it was fun to watch, to listen to a match you're watching and not everyone like kiss their ass.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Yeah. I don't feel like they do that as much these days where they completely destroy the wrestler
the
way they talk about
it. They do it here and there, but nothing like Jesse or Bobby did back in the day.
I mean, Jesse would intentionally mispronounce people's names.
Chico Santana.
Chico Santana was a big one. That wouldn't probably fly today at all.
No.
But he did that all the time, man.
Yeah.
That just would re-say someone's name the wrong way or do different things. And he was great, though. I loved him. I love the interviews he would do with people every once in a while, like within the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
You know, those interviews that he did. I loved it.
He did one, I think I was watching Saturday Night's Main Event the other day, and he was talking to Hogan. And Hogan and him were getting into it during the interview. It's like, oh, really? Wow, this is kind of cool. Yeah.
Oh, man. So yeah. There was no love lost even
no,
off
no,
the
they did not like each other. And the fact that Hogan went into Hollywood, which is where Jesse wanted to be his whole time, didn't go too well.
Well, what was good, but he was doing the announcing with Vince a lot during the build-up to Predator. Because I remember they were talking about it. They were telling bits and pieces, oh, Jesse's going to be in the new Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah. We only knew it as the new Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Right.
That's about all we knew about it. And I you saw it before me, because I remember being on the train tracks in Mansfield asking you questions about it.
Mm.
Or it might even have been about us, neither of us seeing it at that point. We were just questioning what it was going
to
be about.
I saw it early. Like, I think I saw it as soon as it came to videotape, because my friend had it.
And I think I saw it a week or two later, because my dad wanted to see it real bad. And I remember asking you, because my dad would freak out if there was too many F words and something. I remember asking,
was it
bad? It was Arnold movie, but it wasn't like Die Hard level type stuff. And we watched it. Man, it was such a great, fantastic movie, man. We watched it over and over and over again. Till 2 came out, we watched that over and over again. But talk about being the most badass character. That's why Jesse must have read the script and been like, yep, I'm doing it.
That's me.
Because he got to play the most badass character
in
the fucking thing. And he had a great death scene, too, where the thing just fucking shot a hole the size of a basketball
right
through his chest.
He just stops, eyes open up and down he goes.
Oh, and Bill Duke's scene went just... Yeah, Bill Duke loses it because
he grabs
the
minigun that Jesse had.
They got such good... that's the in credit to Shane Black for the writing. And he got a lot of great character type stuff out of a bunch of guys all dressed the same with... I mean, they looked differently, but you know, when you're all playing soldiers, trying to distinguish each other is not the easiest thing to do.
No.
And he did a fantastic job with the Jesse's character, man. I don't got time to bleed.
Do you have time to duck?
Yeah. Such a great line, man. I love that original.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones that you can like all the other Predator movies, man, but you come back to that original and it's just like, this is just perfect, man.
Yep.
The Billy character.
Billy's great.
A lot of great Predator toys out there. I mean, for the love of God, we don't need another of the actual Predator.
Right. We
need
more figures.
But we could use some of the other figures.
Billy.
Like, why? Or from 2, why don't we have like a Bill Paxton fucking figure or
Danny Glover.
Or Ruben Blades and Danny Glover. Even Maria Conchita Alonso. I would take one of her figures too.
Yep.
One of the things that I passed on at Eric's shop like a couple years ago, and I'm still regretting it because I'll probably never find it. And at the time, it was probably $30, and it's probably $100 now. Was that accessory kit from Predator 2 with the hanging bodies?
Yeah.
Oh my God! The fact that they even agreed to release that was crazy because it was sick.
Yeah. I have it around here somewhere.
Yeah, it's
I
found awesome,
one that came
man.
In not too long ago.
Well, if someone comes in with another one, grab it for me.
Because
that is a killer one.
It really is.
But if you're a Predator fan, there's a good amount of Predator figures out there for you. There definitely is. I have a
big,
great one.
Small.
I have one with the spear, and I had a spare Predator head, and so I put the Predator head on top of the spear, so it looked like he was hunting another Predator.
That one I just got, the older Predator, was pretty cool, with like the sickles on his
wrist. Yeah, they got some ones that you didn't even think they created or something.
Yep.
So, Jesse, man, we miss having you in the wrestling realm, but there was definitely no love lost between him and Vince McMahon. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's fun.
We talk about the Hogan-Vince
Hogan,
kind of patron.
He's
like best friends, pen pals with Hogan compared to Vince.
Yeah, they're not too happy with each other.
Oh, God, it's bad. All right, this next guy, we both were there live when he was introduced to wrestling. And you might have known him before he did this, but this character at least. And he was in the 1993's movie Major Payne.
Hmm.
We're going to be talking about Bam Bam Bigelow.
The Beast from the East.
Did he wrestle before the Bam Bam character? Or was that really his first?
Well, he was always Bam Bam.
Okay.
But
you saw him and you saw him before?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Way before. He wrestled in like WCW for a while.
Yeah,
at the time,
you were probably like, oh, you're going to love this guy.
Yeah.
This guy's going to be great over here. And I just had no clue.
I probably had watched him wrestle for about a year and a half before we saw him show up.
It was like
WWE.
Maybe a 3 to 4 week draw out of who is going to manage Bam Bam. Remember
Saturday
Morning Wrestling? It was like a big thing. And then they were saying, is it going to be Bobby? Is it going to be
Mr. Fuji?
Maybe the Mouth of the South. We knocked him out immediately. I was like, he's not going to manage Bam Bam. He's got Fuji and Bobby written all over him.
Right.
And who does he go to?
Oliver Humperdinck.
We're like, who the fuck?
Yeah.
Did he manage anybody else?
Yeah, he was in the Von Erich Wrestling.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he was Oliver Humperdinck.
Yeah, you knew him when he came over, too? I knew him when he came over. Was that his first introduction into the WWE, though?
Yeah.
Well, that's crazy. Yeah. But we didn't care, man. When Bam Bam came down, Google Bam Bam's face, man.
Oh, yeah.
Man, he's got some of the best head tattoos and everything. And
one tooth missing directly in the middle of his mouth.
Talk about somebody you didn't, when you first saw him and he's entering the ring, you were like, oh, this is just a big giant dude, man. He's going to be able to lumber around and just use pure power on people.
He does cartwheels.
Fucking cartwheels.
And he's on the top rope as much as Jimmy Snuka.
It's one of the most flexible, aerial, big dudes you've ever seen.
He's a monster.
Man. I mean, what's another big guy
Vader.
Van Vader, yeah. Did he move around just as much as Bam Bam?
He did moonsaults.
Yeah.
He did a moonsault off the top rope.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah, Bam Bam was wild.
Yep.
But we're talking Major Payne here. He was in it for very little. He was in it for like 3 minutes and he got his ass kicked. But he came in and he did what was on the script. And it was for a funny moment, too. So if you, Major Payne was a funny movie. You hadn't seen it, right?
No, I've never seen it.
You said it was one of your dad's favorite movies.
Yep, I never saw it, though.
Oh, funny-ass comedy, man. It just pure 90s. I watched it somewhat recently. And it's about... he's like a super militant guy who is just into killing. Damon Wayans, and he's doing it with his funny lisp and everything. It's a character that Damon Wayans kind of created.
Right.
But his military service is...
I definitely a character.
Yeah, his military service is over with, and there's nowhere in the... and he's like, surely there must be killing needed someplace. And they were like, nope, you've done all the killing this military is going to ask you to do. And then before he knows it... they call him back and they want him to go to like kind of a children's kind of West Point type thing.
Okay.
And he's got William Hickey has a great line. William Hickey plays like the, if you're not familiar, William Hickey's the grandfather from Christmas Vacation.
He was in Remo Williams.
He's in Remo Williams? Oh, yeah.
He's the carnival vendor.
That's right. That's crazy.
It's one of these Taiwanese beauties.
That's an obscure fucking reference right there. He was also like 69 when he died, and we all thought he was like 83.
He was 69 when he died. Wow.
And that's like 8 years after Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, yeah.
It's insane, man. It was like a condition that he had that he looked really old when he was really young, too.
No kidding. Wow.
But he had a great scene in as the like principal of the military school and everything, and he calls the ROTC boys the Green Boys. He's like, I don't even know what their name. I just call them the Green Boys. He says, you know, when they stand in front of the bushes, they disappear. So they put Damon Wayans. He's basically, it's kind of how you ever see Renaissance Man with Danny DeVito. It was like he came in and he had all the troubled soldiers that.
No.
In that movie, he was teaching them English or something like that. But in this one, he was just trying to straighten these like rowdy kids up and everything.
Yeah.
Whip them in the shape. And he tortures these poor kids.
Yeah.
And the kids try to fuck him up. They try to put laxative in his drinks.
Yeah.
He's one step ahead of them. Well, they put laxative in his drink and there's a great scene where he actually drinks it. And for a second, he stops and they're all smiling. They're waiting for him to just like. Throw up or everywhere.
He just forgets it.
He does one like gurgle sound and everything, and then nothing. And then one of the kids walks by him, and he lifts his leg real high, and he lets the loudest fart out, and the kid drops to the ground.
All right.
And so they keep trying to like get him out of the get him kicked out of the military.
Yeah.
So they dressed one of the little fat kids in a sundress, and they snuck into his bunk and they put him in a bed with him so they could take Polaroids of him and Damon Wayans together.
God.
And Damon Wayans wakes up in the middle of it. Oh, it's so funny. But one of the main, this is where Bam Bam comes in. One of the main things that we're going to do is the last draw is they pulled their money and they hired Bam Bam to come in.
And he
came in on a motorcycle and you saw the kickstand go down and he stepped out and he's like, hey, Payne, I hear you giving these kids problems.
Yeah.
And Damon Wayans had a great line. He's like, fee, fi, fo, thumb, what green stock did you come from? And then walks over to him and they have this one thing off. And then I think Bam Bam punches him first and then Major Payne just kicks him in the nuts and then knocks him in the face and just knocks him out.
All the
kids are like, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a fun-ass movie, man. It's definitely one to revisit. Lots of funny lines, man.
Huh.
A lot of really quotable lines in that movie.
Okay.
All right. What do we got here? Number eight. Oh, this is a good movie, man. This is one of our favorite comedies. And also a movie that they never fucking play on cable. And if you've seen it in the 80s, you were one of the lucky ones. And this is 1988's Moving.
Okay. Perfect.
God, man.
Yeah, we saw that within the last year or so.
Nice. And yeah. What wrestle are we talking about here?
Richard Pryor.
Ah, oh, he's so good. He got thrown around like a rag doll.
The great King Kong Bundy.
I love King Kong Bundy, man. Yeah. The second I saw Bundy, I'm like, I like this guy.
Yeah,
man.
Me too. He's so the walking good. Condominium is what Gorilla called him.
Oh, and he did little random cameos here and there, too. Like Married with Children. Married with Children was one of our favorites with him.
Yep.
But Moving, he had a great scene. And he was one of the movers, man. Yep. And he was just awesome in it,
he
man.
Came on and dropped the lamp.
That's right. I love how respectful he was at the end.
Yeah.
Where should I put these, ma'am?
Yeah.
I think that's a great choice.
That's a great choice.
He just understood the comedy, man, and he understood what when he had to be ferocious and everything like that. And yeah, if you haven't seen Moving, one of Richard Pryor's later ones, it's great super
movie.
Good.
Yeah,
super
good cast too. Dana Carvey's in that one.
Dana Carvey's so funny in this movie.
Jay
man.
Met King Kong Bundy at one of the local wrestling events. Yeah, and Jay, I believe the line was Jay said to him, "You scared me when I was a kid." He goes, "Really? Then I did my job."
That's great, man. So yeah, perfect. I think if we're talking some old Bundy. 80, WrestleMania 2 was probably the first, my big moment. Obviously, the build up to WrestleMania 2, we knew who Bundy was.
And they had the three locations for the first time. It was going to be one of the biggest WrestleManias. And then that old school, big, heavy barred steel cage that they got in, him and Hogan for the title.
It was awesome, man.
It really was.
I loved Bundy. And we lost him a while ago, too.
Yeah, didn't we? Yeah, he died young.
Yeah, he was a great guy and a commitment, too. He had to shave his damn eyebrows, man.
Yep.
You know, those when things
he came,
they never come
when he
back.
Came back for the WrestleMania, I saw him in against, I think he fought The Undertaker in my WrestleMania. He grew them back, and he looks so oddball.
It's weird. I saw him when he was younger. I saw a picture with him with hair and eyebrows, and it was like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah.
And that's not Bundy.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know how important those no eyebrows were until you saw him with them on. He was good. He didn't stick around wrestling for long enough, man. I would have loved to seen him for, I mean, what was the last kind of, what year did he just kind of like depart?
Well, he was in WrestleMania 3, and then I don't remember. He wasn't in 4, 5, 6.
Well, remember it started going down when they were putting him against the Haiti kid in the
That was WrestleMania 3. It was him and Hillbilly Jim
against with the little guy wrestlers. People. It's a weird kind of thing.
You went from WrestleMania 2 the year before to fighting a mixed tag team match with midget wrestlers.
Yeah, it's kind of a downshot. It's almost like, what did he say to McMahon?
It could have been, or they would just wash up. They figured you already lost a title shot. You lost that, nothing else for you. But so WrestleMania 3 was the last one I can remember. And then he didn't come back to the one I was at, so that's 8 years.
He came back then? I didn't know he came back then.
He fought, that's when he fought Undertaker. I saw him wrestle then.
Wow, I might have to pull up that match. I don't even know.
He might have been there for a year. He was part of the Million Dollar Team. It was him and Sid, I think, Crush. We watched that.
Yeah,
that was right
I do
when
remember
Pop
that.
Died.
I do remember that. Yeah. Then I'm coming back for that.
Because I remember actually watching that when we got the call.
Do you remember him before WWF? Was he part of anything?
He was part of... IWCCW, the one with the Von Erichs.
Okay.
But he was probably there for like a couple of weeks and then he was right up.
I hope everybody is more familiar with the Von Erichs now that the Iron Claw movie came out. I haven't watched it myself, but I know we're both going to love it, but we're both going to be real sad.
Yeah, definitely.
That's how it works. Yep. We knew that going into the movie The Wrestler.
Kind of the story. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
It's kind of the story of wrestling in general.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Sad.
Not many of these guys get out unscathed.
That's why when you can see them, and I'm super excited when they do cons and everything, and you can see that they're doing well.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Hulk's not looking good. Lately.
No, well, he did a lot more than these other guys did as far as the steroids.
No, I was surprised that he's lasted as long as he was. And he was kind of the one holdout of somebody that was looking well.
He's been a scoundrel the last half of his life, kind of karma catching him.
Yeah, it really is.
The one I'm really pissed that isn't here anymore is Piper, for sure, though.
Piper... Absolutely,
he's the big
sure.
one. He's the big one.
Yep, he is the big
I'm
one.
I'm glad Flair's still with us, though.
Flair is fun to watch.
He is. He's still.
I was watching a clip from the other day with him and Mike Tyson just smoking.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that clip?
Yeah, I saw that a while back.
It's just hilarious.
Yeah.
Moving. Check it out, kids.
Definitely.
All right. 9. We got 2 left here. This is a big one for me. I love this movie. I thought they came back and rebooted this movie in the best way possible. And what was a steaming pile of shit now is one of the better superhero movies ever made, and that is 2021's The Suicide Squad.
Okay.
I hated the Will Smith one.
It was terrible. I cannot watch that movie.
When I won't watch it.
I get tricked once in a while when I'm going through the channels.
Yeah, you'll see it.
And I see, oh, cool. And then as soon as I say Will Smith.
Is the only difference the? Is it the... is there a Suicide Squad?
I just see him get excited and think I'm going to see King Shark.
Yeah. Oh, man, everything about the Suicide Squad was so good.
But Jared Leto was terrible.
Oh, he was so bad, man. Yeah,
terrible.
No, I love the
newer one.
I love the newer one. I think it was absolutely perfect. It's the perfect movie to put in the background, just laugh your ass off.
It's just like it's like all of his other movies.
Yeah.
The Guardians movies.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. He's great at doing that type of stuff, and this was the perfect thing for that.
Good soundtrack, good cast, awesome cast.
Perfect cast.
Yeah.
And so we're talking about John Cena.
Yeah.
And I never watched John Cena wrestle once.
You've missed nothing.
Okay. As an entertainer, he's fucking funny as shit.
He's
dude.
Good.
That Peacemaker is one of my... There's two shows that I've watched in the last 25 years, and I've mentioned them a couple times in the pod before. The two best shows I've watched in the last 25 years is The Peacemaker and Andor. Both of them are unbelievable.
That was a left. I didn't expect Andor. But your huge show was...
blew me away. Really? It was smart. It was a very smart one.
Peacemaker was a phenomenal. Yeah. Great show.
I'm telling you, the middle of Andor you would have loved during the prison break stuff. The prison stuff was like next level drama, thriller stuff. It was like so fucking good. But Peacemaker, from that opening fucking... credits, probably the best opening credits I've seen.
With Rooker?
With all of them.
You're talking about the show.
Yeah, I was talking about the Peacemaker show, yeah.
But in the beginning of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Rooker's in the... yeah, that's great.
All those guys. That was what was great about the Suicide Squad, is you saw them just kill all those guys off.
Who you thought was going to be the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, it was going to be, and they really pulled our legs big time, and you probably, for a brief second, probably lost half the audience.
Yeah.
But then they were like, no, you'll like these guys.
Don't worry about it. Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
You're good.
We got you. And every part of the movie was perfect.
Yep.
And John Cena, like, at the very get-go, kind of cemented himself as this guy is a fucking comic relief in this movie, and he's really funny at this shit. Now, were you a John Cena fan at all before this movie?
I've never liked John Cena.
You do like him in this movie.
I love him.
As the Peacemaker character, right? Have you seen the Peacemaker series?
Yeah, watched them all. Loved them. Loved it. Like you said, the opening credits to the end was great.
I hear they're going to do
it. I hate John Cena.
Yeah.
And I love his role.
See?
Completely.
That is the biggest statement we can give you people out there, because, and the next guy we talk about, I think you feel very similar about.
Okay.
But, yeah, check out the Suicide Squad. Don't even bother with the other one, man.
Yeah.
It's so bad. I saw it in the theater and it was such a fucking
disappointment. King Shark was
man.
So good.
Oh, so funny. Good. I think we knew from the trailer that we were going to love this one, though. The trailer was perfect, man. With Cena said, if sucking dick mean I would save my country, and if there was 1,000 dicks on this island, I would suck every last one of them.
Who'd be asking you to suck every dick on the island? Was that Idris?
Idris was great in this movie,
He was very good.
And he was one of the ones you didn't think you were going to get that kind of funny
and you got
level out of him. And Margot's Robbie is always
awesome. She's very good at
it. She just owns that character.
Yep.
I would not want... I love Lady Gaga and almost everything I've seen her in, but I would not want to be her trying to fill those shoes.
The Holly role,
I mean, she's going to do her own thing that's so different from it.
I just hope it's not Jared Leto's different. Like something over the top.
Are you interested in the second Joker?
Yeah, I like the first one.
Yeah. Do you know the second one's going to be musical, though, right?
I've heard that, actually. Yeah.
It might be more of a musical than we even think of.
No kidding.
Yeah. So I'm still going to see it, but
it'll be weird.
It'll be interesting. I think that if they do something unique, I'm all for them doing something unique.
As long as we enjoy it.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to seeing in the season two of Peacemaker. I've heard they're not going to have the same opening, which is a little disappointed. But
if
they do something funny, just as funny, I'm all for it. That's a series I could go back and rewatch.
Yeah,
I watched the first four episodes when my wife was gone, thinking that she would never like this series.
Yeah.
And when she came back, I said, I know you're not interested in this, and I guarantee you, I know you. I said you're gonna love this, and we watched it. And she's like, "This show is so good."
Yeah. I did the same with her. I watched the first one because I didn't think she's gonna like it. I'm like, "All right, you gotta watch this with me."
Yeah, yeah. Well, when you know, you know. And that's what it is.
Yep.
I did the same thing with my mom when she was. I was lending her a whole bunch of movies, and I lent her. She's like, "I don't like superhero movies," and I lent her Iron Man. I said, "Trust me, you'll like this one."
Ever since you remind me how good that was, I have it in the DVD player.
Fucking Iron Man, that first Iron Man.
Yep.
God damn,
it's so damn good.
Such a good fucking movie. You do not have to be a superhero fan to enjoy that fucking movie.
Nope.
All right, like I was saying, I
hate John Cena, but he seems like a good guy because he does a lot for the community.
All right, yeah, he does more Make-A-Wishes than anybody.
Yes, so
that's crazy.
I'm gonna put that out there.
So this next movie, and this is another wrestler that I think he has taken to acting better than probably any of the wrestlers in recent memory. And I think this was also someone that you did not care for when he was a wrestler. And this, we're going to be talking about 2014's Guardians of the Galaxy with Dave Bautista.
All right. Bautista, when he first came out, he was an animal. He was good. He was with Triple H, Randy Orton, and Ric Flair, the Evolution.
Mm-hmm.
They were good. And he was good. He was raw. I don't know what happened. He did this take my ball and go home type thing. And when he came back, he was a different person. I didn't understand him. Yeah.
Never seen him wrestle once.
He was intense. But then he went through like so many different body transformations.
Yeah.
So you're like, what's this guy doing? Why does he look like this? And he came in. He came in late too.
I saw old wrestling pictures of him, and I was like, holy shit, that's this guy.
Yeah, yeah. And he went through a weird transformation, and he didn't. I don't think his body took to it very well because it seemed like he either got injured or he wasn't as intense.
He might have got beat for this movie too. Well, it was way before that, right?
He was ridiculously big before this, like, but way before when he was Dave Bautista, not Drax, he was enormous.
Yeah,
like stirred it up probably.
Okay,
but veins on top of veins, you know, that bad.
Wow, that's crazy.
Like I said, he came in late. He was in his 40s, I think, when he came in, or late 30s at least.
When I had heard about Guardians of the Galaxy being cast, I didn't know him. I just knew that he was a wrestler too. Mm. And then so my introduction was straight up from that movie, and I was like, oh, this guy's just funny, man. And he was very charismatic and funny in the Guardians of the Galaxy, and then I saw him in the other movies, and I was like, man, this guy, you seen Hotel Artemis?
No, I've heard good things about that.
Oh, fuck, Hotel Artemis is great, man. Okay. I just rewatched it the other day because we had me and the wife had watched True Detective with Jodie Foster. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I love Jodie Foster. And I said, I love old Jodie Foster. I said, I think she's fucking great in all these roles because when she was younger in the 80s, didn't care much for her. She was all right. She was disgusting in Taxi Driver. Other movies she was in, like, you're not going to watch her in The Accused or something like that.
Yeah, but I
always liked her in Silence of the Lambs, but now old Jodie Foster, watch her in Hotel Artemis. She was so fucking good in that. And her and Bautista, I thought there was a series of movies that those two could do together.
Okay.
Because he was, like, her protector. He was, like, always right by her side, and she's, like, 5'2", maybe, and he is, like, towering over her, and they're just jabbing at each other.
Okay.
And she's giving him jabs about steroids and stuff like that, so it's really funny.
Hmm.
And then Blade Runner 2049, he was awesome in 2049.
I didn't see either Blade Runner.
He was original only in the first 15 minutes. He was like this. He played one of the replicants that had gone off to the middle of nowhere, and he's just doing his own thing, and he's grown his garden, everything. They developed this sympathetic character even before he stepped on the screen, because you were seeing what he was doing around his house, and you knew that Ryan Gosling was there to kind of deactivate him and shit, like they do to all the he was a Blade Runner. He was there to hunt down replicants that have gotten away.
Okay.
And you felt so bad for him, and you're like, oh man, Bautista's great in this. And then I didn't like the Knock at the Cabin one, but he was really good.
Okay.
I liked him a lot. Justin loved it, so it's don't take it just from me, but it was like every other M. Night movie. I was like, okay.
I only liked the first.
Yep. The first three. Yeah. Basically Sixth Sense, Unbreakable, and
I thought that Unbreakable 2 out of 3 were good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That and
Glass was good. Glass.
Glass was a third.
Split was good.
Split was very good. So
Glass sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was so disappointed. Oh, we put so much time into that in those two movies.
Yeah, they fucked it up.
Yeah.
I think they just like
they had no answer.
Yeah, that's what it
they
is.
Had I no think answer.
They, I were like, they're like, M. Night, we need a script now. He says, well, I have this like second revision.
I have this handful of poop in the back of my pants. I'm gonna throw this against the wall and see what show what happens. Is that good?
let's do it.
Yeah. No.
I said the audience doesn't have any high regard for you anymore. Dude.
No, no.
It's all right. Yeah, but I'm excited what he sees. He's got a huge future in entertainment.
Yeah.
We just watched him in Stuber the other day, and I thought he was hilarious in Stuber.
Oh, everyone's saying that's good.
Yeah, I loved him in that. Opposite Kumail Nanjiani, I mean, those two guys are like comedy gold, man.
Okay.
And I think he got him jacked for the Marvel movie because they became good friends.
Yeah.
He brought him to like that WrestleMania, like right around when Stuber came out.
Okay.
He brought Kumail to the WrestleMania or whatever.
I think I remember that.
Whatever the pay-per-view event at the time was. And it was fun to see him interacting with friggin' Bautista.
Yeah.
I'd watch a second one if they did that. Huh. Very funny. That's our top 10. But like I said, just briefly, we would love to be able to talk if anyone is some wrestling fans. And what's great about this is you don't need Peacock. If we mention these matches here and you want to check out the matches we're talking about of being our top five for our WrestleManias in the past, in honor of WrestleMania. You can either, if you got Peacock, check it out, man. I'm telling you, you can watch all these things in full. If you don't, YouTube certainly has them. You could just pull them up on YouTube and watch them. Yep. It's fun stuff, man.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's go in. Let me look at my list here. You look at your list. We are going to have some crossovers for sure.
And if
sure.
we do, we'll just count it as a number. Yep. We'll just both talk about it.
Yep. What do you got? Want to give me one?
You're going to laugh at this one. I actually like this a lot, and I've always been a more the better type of guy. And WrestleMania 4, the Battle Royal, to start off.
Oh, the Battle Royal.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
It was a good Battle Royal, good people in there.
All those Battle Royals. All I had to hear as a kid was Battle Royal, and I'm in front of the television. Excited, man.
Yep. Only beaten by the Royal Rumble, but the Battle Royal was fun. Everyone's in the ring to start the match. Last man standing over the top rope.
I remember so the good. Awe that... when I realized it was a thing. Yep. I'm like, wait a second. They have to go over the top ring. Yep. It just changed my way of playing with my action figures for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you just put them all in there and you just go crazy wild with them. And now, who was the final winner for that? Was it Stud?
So no, that one was the one at the end where it was Junkyard Dog, Bret Hart, and Bad News Brown. And Bret and Bad News were working well together, and they eliminated Junkyard Dog, and Bob Uecker even fell for it and said, oh, I guess these guys have decided to split the trophy right down the line. Of course, Bad News gave him his move, which was a ghetto blast from the back of the
head. That's right.
Knocked Bret over in the top rope. And that was the beginning of Bret Hart turning into a good guy. And the champion.
So Bad News Brown officially won the Royal Rumble.
Yeah,
and then Battle Royal.
Battle Royal. And then Bret grabbed his trophy and broke into 1,000 pieces and threw it at him.
Man, I would have lost that.
That was a great one.
Bad News had won that thing.
Yep.
Which one was the John Studd one? I love that
WrestleMania
one.
WrestleMania
2. WrestleMania 2.
That was
2.
With the football players, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had football players in that one.
Like, John Studd really, like, didn't he win a later one, too?
Who, Stud?
Stud, or was that the only one he won?
No, that was a Royal Rumble. He won the second ever Royal Rumble.
That's what it is. Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of.
The first
of.
One
not
was
the Battle
Hacksaw.
Rumble, the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, but the Battle, WrestleMania 2 Battle Royal.
So those are not, that aren't aware, about the difference between Battle Royal and Royal Rumble is Royal Rumble, you come, they put someone down every 2 minutes.
It's the first two people start, then every, they've done it different ways. Half a minute, minute and a half, minute, 2 minutes, whatever. Another guy
increments
will come down.
Is basically the idea, though.
Yep, and same thing over the top rope until they're all in there, and the last two, same thing.
Yeah, where Battle Royal is everyone.
Everyone at once.
The start of the ring, everyone's in it.
Yep.
Yeah, because I had seen several of those when we were young, obviously.
Yeah, and Andre was the king of winning
those. But the one I like is the Royal Rumble when Stud won. It was great. Yep. Not as good as the 92 Royal Rumble, which is probably the best Royal Rumble that's ever
one of the
happened.
Greatest pay-per-views ever.
Oh, it's so good.
Everything about that from beginning to end was... I watched that frequently in here. Probably every 2 weeks I put it in the DVD player in there and just mess around with toys.
Yeah, if you want to watch the best Royal Rumble of all time...
1992. We won't spoil it, but it is great. Yeah. And it's for the title. It was the only one I believe
I love it.
The
that's
title.
That's probably the I play that pay-per-view event probably more than anyone.
Me too, 100%. It's
for sure. All right, good one there. Well, all right, one I'm going to put on here. And this is from WrestleMania 3, and it's Randy Savage
it's on
versus
on my list.
It's on your list.
Absolutely.
I love this fucking match, dude.
That was probably going to be my number 2, to be honest with you, my second pick.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
It's one of the best feuds in at that time in wrestling history, in my opinion.
Yep.
They it seemed like they hated each other.
And
this was
this.
The buildup. I mean, so we had mentioned it earlier.
Yep.
On Saturday morning, Randy Savage took the bell out, went to the top ring. And when Randy goes to the top ring, man.
He made things happen.
And he looks taller than anybody.
Yeah.
He stretches his arms out. And he just went up there and down.
He was comfortable up on the ropes.
And he did it with the bell. And I remember watching as a kid, like, there's no way he's going to hit him with this bell.
Yep.
And he nailed him with his bell.
And he was over the barrier.
It was so vicious.
Yeah.
It was like one of the more vicious things you've seen a wrestler do at that time.
Yep.
And they brought him out. So there's no bigger buildup for a WrestleMania than that. Steamboat's going to come back in. He's going to do his shit. I always love Steamboat, man. It's one of my favorite.
One of the most talented guys out there. He couldn't speak the mic, work the mic.
Oh, no. He wasn't good on the mic. That's
but he was
sure.
one of the most talented. Wow. One of the most fun guys to ever watch. One of the few guys from
Hawaii. Early was. A little later, it was like, he kind of got boring to me a little bit
later.
It
was a dragon thing, too.
Yeah, when it was
coming
the dragon
down as
thing.
The dragon spitting fire.
Yeah, that was a little lame for me, but the early stuff with him I absolutely loved.
He left there and went to WCW and won the world title.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
One of my favorite wrestling figures I own is the white coat, Steamboat. That's the Steamboat I know. That's the Steamboat I think of in my head.
Yep.
And this match was just killer, man.
Back and forth. George Steele in Steamboat's corner. obviously Elizabeth and Savages.
The George Steele thing was a little crazy. Because that was built up because George Steele
had a crush. It was the Beauty and the Beast thing with him.
Elizabeth. Yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah. And if you don't know George Steele, obviously he's this big giant dude with hair all over him, a green tongue, and he played the animal very well.
He was just tearing apart the turnbuckles all the time. Yep. It's crazy, man.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good pick though. I've
Yeah, I love it.
I love that. All right, what do you got for your next one?
See if now do I have to talk about a different one? Yep. All right, I guess I'm gonna do WrestleMania 10.
Okay.
The first match of the night was Owen Hart versus his brother Bret.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and Bret had to fight two matches because he was actually fighting Yokozuna later in that night for the title.
I remember this one.
Yeah. So it was one of the greatest matches, and Owen and Bret, Owen was his little brother.
I mean, they trained together, basically.
They did, and Owen was the kid. He was, all accounts, he was like the greatest, nicest guy in the back of the room.
He flipped us off.
Yeah, he flipped us off, and he. I loved it.
We should mention this is a good behind the scenes stuff. When the event that me and Eric had gone to together in Lowell, they had gone the night before, so they knew where all the cars and all the wrestlers were going to be leaving, and the buses and the limos and whatever cars they were in.
Yep.
So we jumped. Did we actually jump a fence?
No. We were on the common way.
Okay.
They were over the fence from us.
Gotcha.
So we couldn't get to him, but we could just sit there and watch him all get in. We were talking to him like it was Luger.
Diesel. Diesel came right up to
Diesel
us.
Diesel and Sean. And yeah, Diesel signed my gloves.
Yep. And we yelled at Owen. We were like, someone might have said, Owen,
you suck. It was because I was an Owen fan, and I think Steve said it, and Sean was right in front of me. When I put the camera up to take a picture of him saying it, Sean's head got in the way. So Owen had flipped us off.
Oh, it was great. I love that they were just staying in character the whole time.
Yeah. And it was him and Neidhart. It was him and Neidhart in the car, too.
And it was what was interesting is the fact that Diesel was a bad guy, but he came over to talk to us and sign us. And we predicted, we were like, oh, I bet he's changing personas. And sure as shit, a couple weeks later, he turned good. We were like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
He was starting with us early on.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, Owen, man. Owen was a big loss, man.
Yeah, it was tragic.
If you're not aware, I mean, you should be aware if you're a wrestling fan, but we lost Owen live during King of the Ring?
I know, it was just a pay-per-view.
It was a pay-per-view.
In Your House or something like that.
That's right. Yeah. I think that's what it was called.
Yeah.
Stunt gone wrong.
They had him dress up. He first came in as the Blue Blazer, and they decided, for whatever reason, his talent of being Owen Hart was enough, so they wanted him to go to the rafters again and... transcend, is that
like a phoenix,
and coming down and the harness, he hit the wrong thing in the harness and he fell into the corner and he went up hitting the turnbuckle and died in the ring.
Ugh.
And he was so good, but that match with him and Bret was one of the best matches I've ever seen. And at the end, Owen won with a victory roll, which means he was on Bret's shoulders and he got his weight over and he actually used Bret's weight against him and grabbed the legs and pinned him.
Yeah.
And no one saw that coming, especially with Bret fighting for the title later on that night.
Yeah. Those guys are both uber talented.
Yep.
And we might as well, I'll mention a Bret one right now since we're talking about Bret.
I have this one too.
It's going to match yours. And this might be, all these are very close to my number one, but
this is my number one.
This
is my number one.
And this is WrestleMania 8, same... we only got one WrestleMania 8. No, I got two. WrestleMania 8 is happened with Bret Hart versus Roddy Piper.
Yep. For the Intercontinental title.
Such an unbelievable match. I rewatched all these a lot, like 5-6 years ago, and I made a list of my best ones, and this was always on that list, man.
So let me give you some backstory. In January of that year, Bret had the IC title, and he got sick in the ring with a Mountie, and he lost it to the Mountie. That was at the Royal Rumble where Roddy went in, took the title from the Mountie. It was his first title ever. So he won it in January. They put him up against Bret in April because they didn't think he could handle the belt.
Yeah.
His only title defense, his only title reign was like 3 months.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And then he had to fight Bret for the title because Bret won the title back. Even that interview going into that match was awesome.
Oh, I love the interview.
Yeah. So...
Where Brett's just like...
He's just sitting back, listening to everything.
Back and Roddy felt disrespected and everything.
Yeah, and he's like pinching his cheek, talking about his mother and everything.
I remember when you were a little kid.
Yeah, she used to put the bologna on the sandwiches. Just one piece of bologna, but that's how she was.
Rowdy.
Yeah.
Man, I love his fucking speeches beforehand, yep. man. So good. But once they got in the ring, man, it was savage. A battle.
Yeah.
And
at one point they were getting on each other's nerves a little bit, you could tell.
Yep.
And Rowdy turned to his old roots and he pointed to his foot and Brett looked down at his shoe or whatever and he caught an uppercut and that was gnarly.
Yep. And so he
Rowdy was a boxer, by the way,
yep.
before this.
Brett started bleeding.
Yeah, and he didn't stop bleeding.
He didn't stop, and the ring was bloody.
Yeah, and he had the long black hair, so it was going everywhere all over the ring.
It was unbelievable how much blood was all over the
yeah,
place.
Yeah.
And this was the third or fourth match of the fucking pay-per-view. Yeah, so the rest of the night, no, they didn't change that
They
mat.
Didn't change it, no.
They just kept it, and you watched people wrestle on top of blood stains, and it was like, man, this is how shit can get. And
brutal.
A lot of times that blood isn't intentional. But if you're caught doing it, McMahon used to... find you $5,000.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want it. If you can be slick about it, it's one thing. But if you're going to get caught about it.
Yeah, don't do it.
Don't do it. They didn't get fined on this one because this was one of the ones that actually happened.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to do that for them, but it was insane. This wasn't the only bloody match of this WrestleMania 2. I'm going to hold off because I'm going to talk about that one coming up.
All right.
But why don't you give us your next?
I'm going to go with the same WrestleMania that I pulled the other one
10?
Out of. Yeah.
What you got?
Michaels and Razor. Ladder match.
Oh, man. Two of your favorite guys, too. This is a great match. Yeah, really.
It was an awesome match. It was back and forth. I think it was the first ladder match at WWE that WWF had ever done.
Really?
Yeah, I believe so. I'm not 100%, but it was back and forth the whole way for the IC belt, and it just kept going. Yeah. I mean, you didn't know.
Two of the best wrestlers to ever wrestle these guys, man.
Yeah, and Scott at that time was getting up there.
Yeah.
So, he was probably almost 40 in wrestling terms. That's old.
Yeah, that's very old.
But he kept going. And this is where their whole group started with Scott Hall and Shawn Michaels and Kevin Nash.
Yeah.
They just kind of...
Hey, Michaels must have been up there around this time, too. Was he around the same age?
Yeah.
Michael's been wrestling
forever. He's a few years younger. Yeah, because he was with the Midnight Rockers back in AWA.
Yeah.
So
that's a long time ago.
That's a long time ago.
I thought
it
was young just being with Jannetty.
Yeah, yeah.
But, damn, man. Yeah, I remember that match. I remember any time you could do a gimmick like that is always great for the audience. It's always great for the viewer.
Yep.
You know, and I loved it, too. And it was like the build-up to it, too. You're like, oh, they're going to have a ladder match?
Yeah.
This is just awesome, man. Yep. And it's two of the best guys. And, you know, that was always what was great about wrestling, you know. And between pay-per-view events was the time period where you would build the drama for the next one.
Yeah.
You know, and they did such a good job back then with the storyline that we gobbled it up.
Oh, yeah. Loved it. Absolutely loved it.
We totally gobbled it up. So, yeah, that's a great one. All right, I'm going to go with one that we had mentioned earlier when we were talking about Bundy. One of my favorites is definitely that Hogan-Bundy match.
Okay.
The steel cage match.
Yep.
The blue steel. Yep. I just love this. And this might have been the first cage match that I had seen.
Okay.
You've probably seen one.
I had seen a few before that, yeah.
But... And so it was completely unique for me.
Yeah.
And I was a huge Bundy fan. I had the figures. I was definitely rooting for him over Hogan.
That figure hurt more than anything.
Oh, man. That's a beefy figure, man. Yes. You threw that at your brother across the living room, he would feel it.
Or
he
the
might
wall.
Not get, he might not get up.
He might not get up, exactly.
And I love the idea that what was always great about Bundy with me is you always got Heenan too.
Yeah.
You know, they were like, he was right there with him. He was a great manager for him. And I just loved Bobby Heenan, and I loved the kind of weaselly, managers that would interfere with everything. And Bobby was the best for that. I mean, well, they all were. I mean, Slick was great at it. Jimmy was great. Everyone was great at that type of stuff. But Bobby really wanted to win, man. He really wanted to celebrate afterwards, and he didn't give a shit what
he wanted to get the bragging rights more than anything, you know, because Gorilla would always get on him. It looks like you're 0-2, Brain.
Yeah, good stuff. So if you're not familiar with the cage match, the only way, there's no referee in there who's going to be doing a counting you out or anything. So you had to either go over the top
or escape that door,
or you got to go through the door, man. And it's as a performer, you know, it seems like a really hard thing because a lot of times you have to be synchronized perfectly with the other wrestler more so than you would normally be without the cage.
Yep.
Because if one of them is getting on top of that cage and you realize that he needs to be up here to pull me off at some point, then you either have to go slow and the other guy's got to get up quicker. And I always, especially as an adult rewatching it, you really appreciate the masterfulness of what the other person is trying to do to be able to accomplish
To stay on the same page.
Because
that Orndorff-Hogan one,
Yeah.
When they were coming down, they had to land at the same time, basically.
Yeah, that was a really good one. It was funny. I was rewatching the Bundy one,
yep.
And I thought it was going to end like that until I realized, no, that's the Orndorff one that you thought ended like that.
Yeah.
This one, it was similar. They were trying to time themselves a little bit because Bundy was going for the door. Hogan was going for the fucking thing.
Yep.
And he kind of leaps towards the door, but he doesn't make it. And then the best, obviously, tag is when Bobby gets trapped inside the cage.
Yep.
And Hogan's just going after him, man. And as much as I like Bobby, I'm all for watching him get attacked by Matilda.
Of course.
Watching him get chased through the fucking ring, because he can take it.
He was a wrestler.
He was a wrestler.
Yeah, of course.
And that was the great thing about him, because sometimes people would go off on him. They would flip him out of that ring, and he didn't go out cleanly a lot.
Bobby Heenan one time came to the ring with I can't remember who he was managing, and one of the fans actually stabbed him with a knife loaded with pig fat. So he got an infection.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it was in his book. It was sick. That's crazy. Endured. Like, getting spit on is one thing.
Yeah.
That's pretty gross. But for someone to hate you that much to try to kill you, that means, like I said about Bundy to Jay, he's doing his job to make you hate him that much.
Yep.
But do you want them to hate you that much?
Yeah. All right, what do you got for your...
All right, so my last two have to be off the top of my head.
Okay.
WrestleMania 1.
Oh.
King Kong Bundy versus SG Jones.
Oh, wow.
It was 7 seconds. If the match is going to suck, I'm glad that it was 7 seconds. Enough said. He basically put him in the corner, gave the splash, and gave the
I've watched WrestleMania 1 the least amount of
me
all
too.
The WrestleManias.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's not my favorite, but I remember that moment being like, holy crap. And then the next WrestleMania, he gets a title match. And then the next WrestleMania, meeting 3, which we just talked about.
Yeah.
He's in a match with mixed tag team match with little people.
How far?
So yeah,
his arc is really short, man. It's just right up and right down.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy, but I love King Kong.
Yeah,
that's funny. That's a great match right there.
Yeah,
same way about like the Honky one. As much as I liked Honky Tonk Man, watching Honky Tonk Man lose to in like how many seconds was it? Was
15
seconds to the Ultimate Warrior. Yeah. It's one of those matches that the build up we all knew Warrior was going to kill him.
Yeah.
He was going to destroy him. What kind of match is this going
to
be?
We didn't know until the last second.
Because it was supposed to be Bruce Beefcake. He didn't know either.
Yeah. No one knew.
That's funny, man.
Yep.
Yeah, I love that. Well, my last one is one that was a huge one for both me and Eric. Wait, no, I have two left, don't I? I don't have just one left. All right.
I have one left.
Yeah, you have one left, I have two left, because I saw that I didn't talk about this one. So, WrestleMania 8, let's go back there.
Okay.
I want to talk some Savage and some Ric Flair, man.
All right.
Fucking love this match,
yep.
Man.
Good,
and
good
now,
match.
this was a bloody match.
And this is a build-up, too. I forgot that was a lot of blood in that match.
Man,
okay.
This is one where they got fined.
Yeah.
Because you could see Flair
reaching. Yeah,
and
I remember that. I remember that.
And I was waiting to tell you this story to the pod, too, because I watched a YouTube video of Bret Hart talking about blading, you know, having razor blades. Yeah. In the ring and actually using them and being smart about using them,
mm-hmm.
and how some people just, if you look at some people's foreheads, they're just cut the fuck up because they're just, they've stabbed themselves in their forehead with the razor blades.
Abdul the Butcher, look that face up.
Yeah. But Brett said he would put the razor blade in his mouth. He said he wrapped it in, and he would tape it with surgical tape inside his cheek. And he said he would do the interview with it. So he said you couldn't feel it. He said it was the most amazing thing. He said someone put him in their boot. Someone put them in the waistband. He says he put him in his cheek. And he said, and it's in there right. He says, you'll never cut yourself. And it worked out for him well. And what he would do is he would spit it out. And it was usually he would do it when he got thrown out of the ring.
Okay.
When he hit the ground, he would spit it up. He would scoop it up with his hand.
Okay.
And he says specifically he did that when he fought Austin.
And he
cut him during that match. And apparently Austin said, no, let's not do it. Like right after he threw him in, he's like, too late, brother. So I already got it in my hand. He said, if I get it in my hand, you got to use it.
Yeah.
So that's where he got him there.
And
he was pretty smart about it. And that's what I had heard about that one. But he says the worst one he had ever heard of was, he says, you got to be real good at doing it. He says, because when you cut somebody, he says, if they move their head slightly and everything, it's going to work against you. And he says, there was one time where Davy Boy Smith did it to Dynamite Kid. And he says, he almost cut his fucking head off. He says, he almost cut his fucking skin right off his head. They had to stop the match and rush him. He said he carried him to the fucking emergency and just carried him inside. He was bleeding all over the place. It was insane.
Wow.
So going back to this match, what made it crazy was Flair's hair, too, because the blood got right into his hair. And if you know anything about Ric Flair, he's got this white ash blonde hair, and it just got red as shit. And yeah, he got fined $5,000. I know Flair apparently had put up a stink. He says, well, why didn't Brett and Rowdy get fined? He says, well, that was real. Yours, you clearly did it.
Yeah.
And it was just a brutal match, man. I love that match between him and Savage. I mean, two of my favorite wrestlers fighting each other, just fighting it out. I just loved it, man.
I like that.
And no one did better interviews than Flair.
And on top of all that, they were fighting for the Savage was fighting for respect of Elizabeth, because Flair said that he was with her.
He kept talking to her.
Yeah, yeah. They had this huge story built up, and it was for the title too.
Yeah, it was great, man. Yep. And was Perfect? Was that the
Perfect
ringside?
Was in his corner. Yep. Yeah.
Because that was the one where he came up. Shut up, Mooney.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That's a good one.
Yeah. Me and Eric are, we will admit, we could listen to wrestling pre-interviews, post-interviews, and just Gorilla talking with Bobby or Jesse all day long.
We used to drive around with that shit in Steve Lavity's car playing it on audio tape.
Yep. Who was it? You or Lav?
I didn't. Well, we both did after a while.
They ended up recording it. They would just put like the boombox up against the TV, push record interviews, and we would just listen to them around town like we were listening to music.
Yep.
And we loved it, man. It was great. Yep. I have fond memories. I squeeze and squeeze.
I squeeze and
squeeze
twist.
And squeeze no more.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of the Andre
the world
ones.
Tag team titles. He wants to surrender the world tag team titles. We just won the world championship, not the tag team titles.
Wow.
Andre. Yeah.
All right, we got finals here. Is it the same one?
No.
Okay.
So, like I said, I had to scramble because all the other stuff was taken. I'm going with a new one.
Oh, good. I don't know any of the new ones.
WrestleMania 30.
Okay. I'll have to pull this up later on.
So the big thing was going into this WrestleMania, one of the big things was Undertaker was undefeated after 20 WrestleManias or whatever it was.
Wow.
He hadn't lost. Everybody took down and beat
him. Me and Eric both hate The Undertaker.
Yes. I saw him in the wild with his gimmick and everything. The kids went up to him, and he was such a dick. He wasn't even wearing his gimmick. He was just being a dick to the kids. And I didn't like him. I never liked him. He bored the hell out of me. So in this WrestleMania, he was scheduled to face the sickest man on the planet, which is Brock Lesnar. And Brock kicked his ass.
He destroyed him.
Yeah. Well, he didn't destroy him. It was close. But Brock, at the end, he had Paul Heyman in his corner, and Paul was even shocked when he pinned him. There were people in the crowd crying, looking like death threats at Brock Lesnar. And Brock
hilarious.
Was sick. He's just absolutely a monster.
I mean, I'd watch it just to hear to see him get beat.
Yes, yeah, it was good.
He annoyed the hell out of me. I thought that was where, with me personally, it's when wrestling kind of
took a turn.
Yeah. It just kind of jumped the proverbial shark.
Sure. Yeah.
It really did, because they were like, all right, this is a semi-dead character, and they're doing these weird coffin things, and what's up with this guy with the urn and everything? I was like, you know, before it was just, all right, we just got a guy with a kilt, and we've got all these kind of simple characters.
Well, we had a big boss man.
I guess, yeah, but that's believable, you know? He's a former prison guard that's kind of a
Well, you don't believe that this guy was dead?
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, that was my point, man. It's just kind of far-fetched.
Yeah, I know. I get
All right, my number one, and I know this is one of your favorite matches, too, so we'll both get to talk about it here. One of the best, in my opinion, WrestleMania 3 and WrestleMania 8 are the two best WrestleManias. My favorite matches are both of them. It's a great capture in time if you just watch both those. Not that there's anything wrong with 4, 5, 6, 7. They're all awesome.
No, they're all great.
All good. You can put any of them on, and I'll be happy.
I can go up to, like, 11, because that's the one I saw.
Yeah. But the final match in WrestleMania 3, it was this huge moment in pop culture of the year. It was amazing, and it was the Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant match, and it was so great. These guys were friends for so long.
Yep.
Piper's Pit came on during that Sunday or Saturday morning wrestling, and when he just ripped Hogan's shirt.
Well, they presented Andre with the Achievement Award for a trophy, and he's looking at Hogan with the title and saying, what the fuck's this shit? Yeah, I want that thing. You know? You get a lot more prestige with that belt around your waist than I do with a stupid trophy that's going to sit in my house.
Yeah.
So you could tell that he had some jealousy, and Hogan never offered him a championship match.
Hogan owes his career to Andre, because Andre went through all this.
And he sold it.
Yeah, and he sold it.
And he wrestled where he shouldn't have.
Yeah, and Hogan knows that he did. He's even mentioned it in the documentary. He's very humble about the idea that...
And they said if Andre didn't want to do it,
he
wouldn't have done it. And Hogan would have gone down. That would have been the end of Hulkamania right there.
But we know that Andre was not doing great. Andre was not the future of the WWF, unfortunately.
He
was a face of it for the longest time.
Yep.
But, I mean, that body is not made to withstand all the stuff that he had gone through.
No.
And that man was in pain, man. Yeah. So he had to pass that torch.
Yep.
And he gave it to Hogan, man, and we all ate it up too. It was big at the time. I know you didn't. You were kind of disappointed.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think deep down you knew they weren't going to give it to Andre anyway.
Oh, I did. They waited a year on that. No, yeah. I knew that they weren't going to. They waited a year because I think the next February, it was like 11 months later, they took it from Hogan. That was the double referee.
And Andre, this wasn't the end of Andre's career. Andre went on and did other stuff.
He was a tag team champion with Haku later.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah.
The baddest man on the planet.
Yep, he is the baddest man on the planet. Them as a tag team is just brutal.
Colossal connection.
Who wants to sign up for this tag team against Andre and Haku?
Yeah, Haku, like I said, is what he is. And then he tags off to Andre?
Yeah. You don't get a break in this match.
Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy.
If Andre didn't kick your ass, he'd sit on top of you and take a shit, which he was known to do.
I love it, man. I can talk movies all day long, and I can talk wrestling all day long. So
absolutely.
This is a special pod for us. We usually bring you horror episodes, but this is a great exit and a great kind of a tribute to WrestleMania 40.
Absolutely.
Damn, we're old.
Yep,
we're fucking
old,
man.
That's right. That's right. Just a number, baby.
It's just a number, baby. So we're going to leave you with that. We're going to go enjoy the fun.
Festivities.
We got the day we're recording this, the final night of WrestleMania is on, so we're going to see some good matches and have some fun.
We had a flea market today at the shop.
Went
to the flea market up the street, so we had a really fun time.
We had a full day today, man, so we're just going to enjoy and relax the last half of it and watch some wrestling.
Hell yeah.
So we're going to be joining you next week. I think we're either going to be coming back with me, with either Justin or Dave, and we're going to bring you some more wild card films that are coming up that we want to talk about. I know we got the anniversary episode that's kind of lingering in the future, and we're going to get to that. If you want to hit us up on Facebook, you can check us out under Fascinated with Films. You can send us an email, fascinatedfilms@gmail.com, or you could just leave us a like or a comment on our two platforms, SoundCloud and iTunes, and we will get back to you.
Hell yeah.
All right. Well, until next time we see each other, which will be in November, if we're going to be up here, we'll definitely do another awesome pod. We'll probably go back to horror and do something really exciting. There'll be some good horror movies hopefully coming
skin
out by
flicks.
Then. Skin flicks. See, I could do skin flicks too.
I actually couldn't. Maybe stuff in the 80s.
Oh, sure. Make me look bad.
You're a perv.
All right.
Real man.
Well, until next week or next time, see you.
Later.
Bobby. Oh, I can feel it. Oh, the adrenaline's going. This man right here is going to make me famous. He's going to become the heavyweight champion of the world, and I'm going to go down to history books as the manager of the world's heavyweight champion. I'm ready. Hogan, you better be ready.
Going to attempt to get comments from the now former World Wrestling Federation champion, Ric Flair's executive...
Shut up, Mooney.